considering maybe changing it to Genesis 6 for the message this morning, with all the rain that we've been getting. That's about the Noah's flood. Genesis 6, by the way, help y'all out. But I think we'll be all right with where we're at here in Luke. So if you'll open your Bibles, we left off last week in verse 45 of Luke chapter 6. So we're going to pick it up in Luke chapter 6, verse 46. And boy, it happens to talk about a flood. How about that? We just happened to leave off there. All right, verse 46 of Luke chapter 6. And why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say? Whosoever cometh to me and heareth my sayings and doeth them, I will show you to whom he is like. He is like a man which built an house and digged deep and laid the foundation on a rock. And when the flood arose, the stream beat vehemently upon that house and could not shake it, for it was founded upon a rock. But he that heareth and doeth not is like a man without a foundation built a house upon the earth, against which the stream did beat vehemently, and immediately it fell, and the ruin of that house was great. In my life, I've met many Christians, but really, there's only two types of Christians. There are those that survive the storm, and those that don't. According to Jesus Christ, really, that's the only two kinds of Christians there are. Where's sister so-and-so? Where's brother so-and-so? Storm got him. Storm got him. It gets a lot of them, unfortunately. You see, because sooner or later, storms come. I mean, we've had it pretty dry around here lately, but man, the last few days, everybody's saying, Lord, turn it off. Turn off the spigot. Amen. We've had enough. You get those storms. How many of you here remember Ivan? Hurricane Ivan. Well, a lot of people lost their houses in that storm. Amen. Do you know when the next Ivan's going to come? No, we have no idea. But listen, if the Lord tarries, I can guarantee you one thing, sooner or later, is going to come. Amen. I mean, they had a devastating event last year there in Japan, in that Fukushima event with the tidal wave after the earthquake. And I mean, the earthquake destroyed, and then the tidal wave killed tens of thousands of people, literally. And then, of course, they had the nuclear reactor, and they're not even telling you on the news what's going on with all that stuff, folks. That thing is a lot worse. It is 10 times worse than Chernobyl. And they still can't get around Chernobyl. And it's 10 times worse than Chernobyl. And they've got reactor number 4 now that they can't do anything with, and sooner or later it's going to melt down. And when it does, they said they might have to evacuate the entire island of Japan. Say, from what? A storm. Say, why would people build a nuclear reactor on a fault line? You got me. I'd like to know that myself. Amen? I know one thing. They weren't prepared. They thought they were. But they weren't ready for when the storm came. And the storms are going to come. They come to individuals. They come to families. They come to churches. They come to nations. Jesus plainly teaches we must have the right foundation if we're going to survive the storm. There is no other foundation than Jesus Christ. Amen? No other foundation can any man lay than that is laid, which is Christ Jesus. And unfortunately, many today have built their lives upon the wrong foundation. Amen? My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. On Christ the solid rock I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. If you're here this morning and you're not saved, you have no foundation for your life, which means it's not going to last. Sooner or later, death will come your way, and it'll just sweep you away, and that'll be the end of you. Why? You never built your life on a foundation that would last when that time comes. So my title of the my title for the message this morning is A Lasting Foundation. A lasting foundation. Look with me, please, in verse 46. Notice, if we're to have a lasting foundation, what Jesus said we must do. Verse 46. And why call ye me Lord, Lord, and what's that next word? All right, everybody together. If you can read that, tell me after you fill in the blank when I get there. You ready? Watch and read with me now. And why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do what? Not. Now, you know how some people have read this? You know, I've heard this preached sometimes. Look at verse 47. This is how I've heard it preached. Whosoever cometh to me and heareth my sayings, I will show you to whom he is like. That's not what the Lord's saying at all. Listen, he's not talking about those that hear his sayings and those that don't. Someone look with me in verse 49. But he that heareth, well, they heard. Do you understand? Both groups have heard. Verse 47, the group where the man digs his house on a firm foundation, heard Jesus' word. Verse 49, but he that heareth, he hears Jesus' word. What's the difference between these two and the foundation that they're building then, according to what Jesus said? Verse 47, whosoever cometh to me and heareth my sayings and doeth them. How about that? Well, who's the other group? Verse 49, but he that heareth and doeth not. They both heard. But one did what Jesus said to do, and one just heard and did not apply the Word of God to their lives. That's the difference. Brethren, I've known Christians that know this Bible. I mean, we've been looking at this thing on rightly dividing in Sunday school, and I hope you all are getting it and growing from it, and I hope it's a help to you. It'll help you in your Christian life, no doubt about it, if you get it, if you understand it. And you can know all about rightly dividing the Scriptures. And I know many Christians that have. I've known Christians, they knew how to rightly divide. They knew enough Bible to teach in our Bible Institute. They knew how to defend valiantly our King James Bible against the new versions. They knew how to dispute any cult and show where they were wrong and God was true. Let every man be a liar from the Word of God. They were able to explain the prophecies in Daniel and Revelation. And yet today, they're not in church. They're not living for God. They're away from the Lord. Their families are a mess. They're hooked on drugs and alcohol and pornography and everything else. So what happened? They heard. But they didn't do. And today they're bound in sin or bitterness. And their lives are shipwrecked. The foundation was never laid the way that Christ said to lay it. You say, well, how can you judge that? Because that's what Jesus said. Jesus' promise is very plain. If you will go by what he said to do, your foundation is going to last no matter what storm comes your way. And the Lord will allow those storms to come. But through it, the idea is to see, well, man, isn't it a good thing that I listened to the Lord? Isn't it a good thing that I went by what the Bible said, and now that that storm has come, we're still here, we're stronger than we ever were, praise God. But many Christians, they don't survive the storms. Why? Well, they knew. But they didn't do. I mean, they knew Greek. But their families are broken up and their kids are a mess. Look with me in James chapter 1. You can hold your place there in Luke 6. And look with me quickly in James chapter 1. It's on page 1617, if that helps. James, in my Bible, that's the page it's on. I'm trying to help you. All right, James chapter 1. Actually, it's on page 1618. I had to turn the page. All right, hope I didn't confuse you there. James chapter 1 in verse 22. But be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving the preacher. No, that's not what it said. How about that? That's not what it said, did it? Who are you deceiving? Well, the preacher don't know. It won't matter. Huh? Mom and dad don't know. It won't matter. My wife doesn't know. It won't matter. My husband doesn't know. The folks from church don't know. It won't. No, you know who you're deceiving? You know who you're hurting? Your own self. You're just deceiving yourself. That's what the Bible says. Why? You're being a hearer, but you're not being a doer. What's Jesus talking about there in Luke? That's what he's talking about. And if you're going to lay a foundation that's going to last and survive the storms, you better start doing what the Lord said to do, not just hearing it. Oh, I just love preaching. Well, why don't you start love living it? Amen. That's our counsel from our Savior. But if ye be doers of the word, not hearers only, deceiving your own selves, for if any be a doer of the word, a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like, now this is who that person is like, a man beholding his natural face in a glass. That's referencing a mirror. For he beholdeth himself. You look at yourself in the mirror, and goeth his way and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. You know, we go into the Word of God, you know what this thing's like? It's like a mirror. Those priests in the Old Testament, the Jewish priests, and they would go and work inside the tabernacle area. And after the burnt offering was made, if they were ever to go in to fellowship with the Lord was inside the tabernacle itself, before they ever could go in there, you know what they had to do every time? They had to come by that laver. It was a brazen laver. It was made of brass. And that brass, the Bible says, was made from the looking glasses of the woman, of the women. It was their mirrors. God specifically had that laver. See, we're to get the washing of the water by the word. That's what that laver is a picture of. And so God had water put in that thing, and that's where the priests would come, and they'd get sanctified, they'd get cleansed, so then they could go into the tabernacle, have fellowship with God, do the service of God, walk with God, and please God. But they couldn't do it if they didn't first wash. But before they went to wash, what did they first do? They looked at that laver, and that laver looked back at them. And that laver told them, this is what you need to wash. This is what needs to be fixed. This is what needs to be changed. See? You know what some people do? They go to the laver every time, and it's one of these, you know, mirror, mirror on the wall. Who's the fairest of them all? Oh, God, give me something from the Bible to show me what's wrong with everybody else. No. You go into this Bible, what are you supposed to find? What's wrong with you? That's why God gave it to us. You go into this thing as a mirror to find out. When you look in a mirror, are you trying to find out what's right or what's wrong? With some of you, it was like, I don't know. Right? What are you doing when you're going looking in a mirror? You're trying to fix whatever needs to get fixed. Make sure there's nothing wrong. Isn't that why you're doing it? Or are you just going to admire? Well, maybe that's the case. I don't know. Maybe some of you, you know. Men with their blow dryers and all right, amen. Amen. Knowledge, brethren, is important. Look back with me in Luke. Knowledge is important. Because listen, you can't do any of the Bible until you know it. Right? It's important. The Bible says to grow in knowledge. Knowledge is important. There's too many ignorant Christians out there that don't know their Bible. You need to know your Bible. But if you just know it, and you're not trying to live it, what good is it? I was talking to Brother Coates, our missionary to Finland. He's back in the States right now. Lord willing, he'll be coming our way in August to give us a report on how things have been going over there. But I was talking, I said, Brother, how's it going? What's been going on with him? He says, well, I'll tell you the truth, preacher. I found out it's a lot easier to teach and preach on living by faith than it is doing it. Isn't that the truth? Huh? You know what that Bible is? It's a lot easier to preach and teach it. It's a lot easier to hear it preached and taught than it is to do it. But if we're going to build a foundation, we don't build a foundation by just looking at plans. Amen? You can look at all the plans and come up with good ideas, which is what that Bible is, on how to build a good, firm foundation. You've got all the plans there. But if we don't apply it, if we don't put it into practice, what have we accomplished? Nothing. Boy, we had a good set of plans. If you don't go by the plans, what good did it do to have the plans? Amen. Y'all with me this morning? If you're awake, say amen. Well, praise the Lord for it. Amen. All right. Now, listen, this is the thing. We can talk about Bible principles, but we must apply Bible principles in our lives. We can talk about fighting the good fight of faith, or we can fight the good fight of faith. We can talk about praying, or we can pray. See, we can talk about reading our Bibles, or we can read our Bibles. We can talk about witnessing, or we can witness. We can talk and speak of all the Christian virtues, but if we're not applying those Christian virtues in our lives, all we're doing is putting off and putting off and putting off and deceiving ourselves into thinking, storm ain't going to come. I'm going to be all right. And storm's coming. They always do. Sooner or later. May not be for 5 years. Maybe next week. We don't know. And so you must be prepared. You must be ready. I bet some of you right now at your house, you have stuff kind of in stock, stored in case something happens, don't you? What if the power goes out? See? Some of you probably got food for a year stored up in your house. Amen? Ready when it comes. But are you ready spiritually? Because you can survive physically, praise God. But if you don't survive spiritually, it's all wasted anyway, isn't it? That Bible says, flee youthful lusts. Do you do it? Or do you just talk about it? That Bible says, bringing every thought into captivity to Christ. Do you do it? Or do you just talk about it? That Bible says, confess your sins, and He is faithful and just to forgive you your sins. Do you do it? Do you believe it? I'm a King James Bible believer. Well, good. Praise the Lord. But I'd rather be a King James Bible doer. Amen? All right. Look back with me in the text. Point number one's done. Finished. Put it in the drawer. Save it. Regurgitate it later on. Mull it over. Amen. Luke chapter 6. And my next point, verse 48. He is like a man which built an house. Well, before he built the house, what does he do? What did he do? He digged deep. You see, if you're going to lay a good foundation, you know what you're going to need from God? You're going to need wisdom. If you're going to last as a Christian and survive the storms, you're going to have to dig deep. You're going to need some wisdom from God. That's what you're going to need. Otherwise, what's going to happen? Verse 49. The stream is going to beat vehemently, and immediately it'll fall. And the ruin of that house was great, the Lord said. Great. Why? No wisdom. No wisdom. Why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say? Amen? That's the context. What is wisdom? Wisdom is more than knowing. See, that's knowledge. What is wisdom? Wisdom is knowing how, when, and what to do, and doing it. And if you don't do it, it's not wisdom, it's foolishness. Let me show you that this morning. Look with me in Proverbs chapter 2. You know where we read over there in James 1 about being doers of the word and not hearers only? You know what he just got done talking about before that in James 1? If any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God that giveth to all men liberally, and it shall be given to him. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. Say, why does he mention that before being doers of the word? Because they go together. You know who it is that hears the Bible and doesn't do it? A fool. A fool. Oh, look at all I know. I'm going to be okay. No. If you're not doing what the Bible says, you have no promise from God that you'll be okay. Now, praise the Lord, if you're saved, you're going to heaven. But I'm talking about in this life, the foundation at your... Is it going to last, brethren? Is it going to last? How many seniors, how many in their 60s and 70s today were saved in revival meetings of old and youth camps or in church and maybe served the Lord for 15, 20 years and today they're out, retired, or selling insurance and maybe pop into church once or twice a year and that's it? How many hundreds or thousands just in our local area, suppose there are? Say, what happened? Well, they were going to church and something happened. Some Christian did them wrong, something happened, and they found an excuse to quit. Why? They never laid a biblical foundation based on the principles of Christ and applied them in their lives, which is what the Lord wants us to do. Look with me there in Proverbs chapter 2. Now let me show you. You need to dig, and you need to dig deep. Verse 1, my son, if thou wilt receive my words, condition 1, what's the first thing we're to do? Receive. See that? If my son, if thou wilt receive my words and hide my commandments with thee. So we have to receive and then what? Hide. Thy word have I hidden mine heart that I what? Might not sin against thee. So that thou incline thine ear unto wisdom. Unto what? What is it you're wanting? What is it you're looking for? Amen. Who knows? Anybody here know what the beginning of wisdom is? It's the fear of the Lord. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. How are you going to get that wisdom? You're going to have to dig for it. You're going to have to want it. You're going to have to cry for it. You want to beg God for it. Man, Solomon, of all he could have had, what did he ask for? And God delivered. Verse 3, yea... Oh, I'm sorry, verse 2, so that thou incline thine ear unto wisdom and apply. You have to incline. So you receive, verse 1, you hide, verse 1. Verse 2, you incline thine ear unto wisdom and then apply thine heart to understanding. Make application. Verse 3, yea, if thou criest after knowledge, liftest up thy voice for understanding, if thou seekest her as what? Where are you going to find silver? You're going to have to dig for it. How much do you want it, see? In other words, how hard would you work to find some silver? If I told you right now that there was some silver hid in the backyard of this church, man, we wouldn't have to ever worry about plowing it up to get something done back then if we wanted to plant crops. You'd all be back there, that whole thing be tore up in 5 hours. Huh? Why? Oh, man, there's silver. I'm going to dig for that. Oh, how much are you digging for wisdom? How much are you really desiring it? What are you doing to obtain it? The wisdom we're talking about is an earthly wisdom, see. This is the spiritual wisdom that comes from God. You can't get it yourself. You can't devise it yourself. You can't come up with it yourself. If God doesn't give it to you, you ain't going to have it. Do you understand that? It has to come from God. And He's only going to give it to you if He sees you're sincere in wanting it. Why do you want it? I just want everybody to know how wise I am. Ain't going to work. Why do you want it? Have you asked God for it? Do you believe you need it? Trust me, you do. Be not wise in thine own conceits. Verse 4, if thou seekest her as silver and searchest for her as for hid treasures, how are you going to find those? You're going to have to dig for them. Verse 5, then shalt thou understand what? The fear of the Lord. What's the fear of the Lord at the beginning of? Then. Thou shalt understand the fear of the Lord. And cometh to the knowledge and understanding. Verse 7, and layeth up sound wisdom for what? What's the sound wisdom for? Hello? The righteous. The righteous. If you're not planning on doing right with the wisdom God gives you, He's not going to give it to you. God, give me wisdom. Help me to know what to do and how to do right. He'll give it to you. Why do you want it? See? The first time, brethren, that the word wisdom shows up in the Bible. Do you know when it is? It's in Exodus chapter 38. Do you know why God gave it? For workmanship. It was so that it was a Bezalel and them could make the things of the tabernacle. It wasn't just so they could know how to make it. It was so that they could actually apply it and perform and create something based on the wisdom that God had given them. When the Queen of Sheba comes to Solomon, it says, and when she saw the temple and the foundation thereof, then she saw the wisdom of Solomon. Man, what a wise king. Why is he wise? Look at that temple and look at the foundation. That thing's made of jewels. That's true wisdom. Let's look at a few verses real quick. I was just going to read them, but since we're in Proverbs, I'll let you see them for your own eyes. Look in Proverbs chapter 14 and verse 1. Real quickly, just turn the page to 14. Proverbs 14 and verse 1. Notice what it says. Every wise woman, are there any wise women here or just foolish women? Any wise women here? You know what a wise woman's going to do? What does the Bible says a wise woman does? Every wise woman heareth how to build a house. No, that's not wisdom. What is wisdom? Every wise woman buildeth a house. Amen. And that ain't talking about construction, putting the roof on, the trusses. That's your household. That's your children. That's the home, ladies. Every wise woman buildeth her house. That's something strong. What is it? That's something that's going to last. But the foolish plucketh it down with her hands. I've seen both. Have you? Look in Proverbs chapter 9. Hey, I'm just trying to help you. There's storms coming. I have no idea when. Not a prophet. I don't know. Okay. I can just tell you that sooner or later, storms come. It's coming to you as a person, as an individual Christian, or it's coming to your family, or it's coming to the church, or it's coming to a nation. But it's coming. Sooner or later. Will it stand the test of time? Well, that's going to depend on the foundation. Hey, are you digging deep? Are you applying wisdom? Look in chapter 9, Proverbs 9 and verse wisdom. Wisdom hath, what has wisdom done? Builded her house. See, wisdom isn't just knowing. Wisdom is building. It's applying what you know. One more time, chapter 24, Proverbs 24. Y'all getting this? Anybody getting it? Raise your hand if you're getting it. Raise your hand. I got to get a feel. All right, a few. Thank God. All right. Chapter 24. Proverbs chapter 24. And look with me in verse 3. Through wisdom is an house builded. It's what? Builded. And by understanding, it is established. So what I'm saying is, listen, what the Lord wants for us is to get some wisdom, apply that wisdom that He's given us, not just to know right, but to do right. Wisdom is how to do right. Listen, think about it. If someone was truly wise, would they ever quit on God? Then why do so many Christians quit on God? Because they're fools. Oh, yeah, but they knew Greek and they knew the Bible and but they're fools. No one should ever quit on God. But you don't know what that church did, and you don't know what that pastor said. I don't need to know. What does that have to do with you quitting on Jesus Christ? What foundation's been laid? Lord, show me. Lord, help me. Lord, teach me. Wisdom doesn't quit because of storms. Edison, Thomas Edison, a very wise man, invented the light bulb. But he had to try 1,000 times, 13 months, before he finally did. You know why he was a wise man? Because he didn't quit. Sister Nikki mentioned in that song, that was a blessing to me. It's always good when you know what you're going to preach and then you hear a special come up and kind of fit in with somewhere in the message. Amen? Does anybody know what triumph? She talked about triumph. You know what triumph is? I'm going to give you the definition of triumph. You know what it is? It's try with oomph added to it. Amen? See, what's that? That's wisdom. That's wisdom. Two frogs fell into a can of cream, or so I've heard it told. The sides of the can were shiny and steep. The cream was deep and cold. Oh, what's the use? Croaked number one. 'Tis fate, no help's around. Goodbye, my friends, goodbye, sad world. And weeping still, he drowned. But frog number two, of sterner stuff, dog-paddled in surprise, the while he wiped his creamy face and dried his creamy eyes. I'll swim a while at least, he said, or so I've heard it said. It really wouldn't help the world if one more frog were dead. An hour or two he kicked and swam. Not once he stopped to mutter, but kicked and kicked and swam and kicked, and then he hopped out by the butter. Wisdom doesn't quit. Finally, if you look with me there in Luke chapter 6, let me say this, my last point. Verse 48. He's like a man which built an house and dig deep, laid the foundation on a rock. When the flood arose, the stream beat vehemently upon that house and could not shake it, for it was founded upon a rock. So what's that? Those good works stand the test of time. That's a good foundation. When you'll do it the Lord's way, listen, it'll always stand the test of time. It'll stand against the storms. Look with me in Job 22. Have you ever heard about some of those seven wonders of the world and all that? You know, there's only still one left, and it's that great pyramid in Egypt. And just seeing pictures of that thing, I've never been there and actually seen it up front, close, but seeing pictures is enough for me to realize there's no doubt why that thing lasted. You know what the biggest part of that pyramid is? It's the bottom. It's the foundation. I mean, couldn't they have done something just as tall, built a lot quicker? But they wanted it to last. That thing's designed to last. Say why? Because the foundation's the biggest part of it. And that took the most time, and that took the most effort of the whole thing. just working and laying and bringing those giant, well, I don't even know how they did all that. The scientists still don't know today. But you want to talk about a lot of effort, a lot of endurance. They sure did have it. Look with me there in Job chapter 22, verse 15. Job 22, verse 15. Hast thou marked the old way which wicked men have trodden, which were cut down out of time, whose foundation was overflown with a flood? What happened? There's a bunch of houses wiped out with a flood. What happened? Didn't have the right foundation. Who were they? Wicked men. Verse 17, which said unto God, depart from us, and what can the Almighty do for them? Yet he filled their houses with good things, but the counsel of the wicked is far from me. The righteous see it and are glad, and the innocent laugh them to scorn. Whereas our substance is not cut down. Hey, storm doesn't get us. But the remnant of them the fire consumeth. Acquaint now thyself with him, and be at peace. Thereby good shall come unto thee. Receive, I pray thee, the law from his mouth, and lay up his words in thine heart. If thou return to the Almighty, thou shalt be built up. Thou shalt put away iniquity far from thy tabernacles. Then shalt thou lay up gold as dust, and the gold of Ophir as the stones of the brook. Yea, the Almighty shall be thy defense, and thou shalt have plenty of silver. For then shalt thou have thy delight in the Almighty, and shalt lift up thy face unto God. Thou shalt make thy prayer unto him, and he shall hear thee, and thou shalt pay thy vows. Thou shalt also decree a thing, and it shall be established unto thee, and the light shall shine upon thy ways. What is this? Hey, man, get right. Do it God's way. It'll last. And if you don't, it won't. Simple as that. Look with me in 1 Corinthians chapter 3. We're almost done. Appreciate your patience. Stay with me just a little longer. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Got to get through this introduction. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. That was a joke. Don't leave. All right. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Verse 12. Now if any man build upon this foundation, gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it. The day. There's coming a day, brethren. Because it shall be revealed by fire. And the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. If any man's work abide, which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. Verse 10, according to the grace of God which is given unto me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another buildeth thereon. But let every man take heed how he buildeth thereupon. Why, Paul? What's going on? As he says in 2 Corinthians 5, we're all going to stand before the judgment seat of Christ one day. I'm not going to stand for you. You're not going to stand for me. You're going to stand before Jesus Christ, you and him. And you know he's going to find out, and you're going to find out. What were you really building? What were you really accomplishing? Anything that makes it through that fire, you'll be rewarded for. See what? That's what'll stand the test of time. I think about our nation, brethren. It grieves me. I look around this country. What it once was. Lord help man, what it is now. Is there any hope? Here's the problem. You know what that Bible says? If the foundation be destroyed, what shall the righteous do? You know what's happened in America? You know what happened? They destroyed the foundation. This country was built upon the Word of God and a fear of God. And purposely, there's been people set out to destroy this country, and they knew what to do. Get rid of the foundation. Get prayer out of the schools. Get the Bible out. make Christians look bad. See, what'd they do? Just get rid of the foundation. No foundation, nothing that'll last. You see, when the Depression came, America made it through the Depression. You know why? Had a good foundation. World War I, World War II came, America lasted. You know why? Had a good foundation. What if that happens now? I don't know. I'd say that foundation's getting pretty unstable. How about you in your life? What kind of a foundation has been built? You know, we'll find out one day, because sooner or later, you know what's going to happen. There's a storm coming. Now look with me there in Luke chapter 14. This is what you need to consider. Because the storm's coming. Maybe 10 years, maybe 20. It's coming. Luke chapter 14, verse 29. Lest happily, after he laid the foundation and is not able to finish it, all that behold it begin to mock him, saying, this man began to build and was not able to finish. How about you, Christian? Is that going to be you? Is there going to be people out there mocking you because you didn't finish? You know what you better do? You better keep on building. The Christian walk, brethren, is simply one step at a time. How do we build that foundation? One shovel at a time. One brick at a time. One stone at a time. That's all you can do. It's just one step at a time. Some Christians, they look at the whole thing and they say, there's no way. Listen, it's just one little step at a time. I heard about a clock one time. You know what a clock did one time? It started to think. A clock. You know what it started to think about? Well, let's see. If I got a tick twice for every second, and there's 60 seconds in a minute, then that means I got a tick 120 times each minute, which is 7,200 times in an hour, which is 172,000 times in a day, which is 63,072,000 in a year, which is over 630 in 10 years, and then the clock collapsed from exhaustion. Hadn't done anything yet. You know, all it needed to do was just keep ticking. 1 second at a time, 1 minute at a time. That's all that was required of it. Say, why don't some finish? They weren't ready for the storm. They lacked wisdom. Brother Ray, why is it that some Christians seem to grow faster than others? That's real simple. Some apply the things that they hear. And some talk about applying the things that they hear. That's all there is to it. That's all Christian growth is. Christian growth is not knowing. Christian growth is when you apply it in your life. When it becomes part of you. There was a quote one time in one of those home and garden type magazines. And a lady just said this, and she didn't know how right she was. She says, if you really want to live off of the garden, you have to practically live in it. And that's the Christian life. If you want a fruitful Christian life, you can't just visit the garden once in a while. You're going to have to live in it all the time. Because that's the only way it's going to be fruitful. All right, here's our note from Jesus for the day. Conclude the message. Dear child, do what I say. Love Jesus. That's it. Say, why? because there's a storm coming. Let's stand for prayer. Father, I pray you bless the message and speak to hearts. Help us, Lord, not to just be hearers of the word. Help us as your children to apply the word of God into our lives, to put it into practice. Seek out ways, Lord, every day where we can improve in our Christian lives, become more like what you'd have us to be, Lord. Confess our sins daily. Walk close with our God. Desire a closer walk. Continue to grow in our Christian lives. Lord, that we'd have a strong and firm foundation against the time to come when the storms come our way. Be with your people. I pray, God, that they would take this message to heart. It's from our Lord. And he's trying to help us and prepare us for that time when the storms come. We thank you, Lord, for your word. God, you gave it to us because you love us and you want what's best for us and you're looking out for us. So help us as your children, Lord, just to put it in practice in our lives. We'll give you all the praise and the honor for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's grab our hymnals. We're going to sing a song before we leave today. And if you'll turn, please, to 529.